Chapter 6. The Job of Haunting. The next day, the ghost was very weak and tired. The terrible excitement of the last 4 weeks was beginning to have an effect. He was nervous and he jumped at the slightest noise. For 5 days, he stayed in his room. He even made up his mind to give up replacing the bloodstain on the library floor. If the Otis family did not want it, they clearly did not deserve it. They were evidently people only concerned with material things. They were quite incapable of appreciating the value of being haunted by a ghost. However, the question of seeing ghosts and being haunted was, of course, quite a different matter. It was really not under his control. It was his duty to appear in the hall once a week, and he had to shout from the large window on the first and third Wednesdays of every month. He did not see how he could escape from his obligations. It is quite true that his life had been very evil. On the other hand, he was good at his job of haunting, and he took it seriously. For the next 3 Saturdays, he walked through the hall as usual between midnight and 3 o'clock. That being said, he took every possible precaution against being either heard or seen. He removed his boots and stepped as lightly as possible. He was also careful to use oil on his chains. Admittedly, this last precaution was hard for him to go through with. However, one night while the family was eating dinner, he slipped into Mr. Otis's bedroom and carried off the bottle. He felt a little embarrassed at first, but he was wise enough to see that the oil was a good idea. It served his purpose. Still, in spite of everything, the family did not leave him be. Strings, for example, were often stretched across the hall. He tripped over them in the dark, and on one occasion, he met with a severe fall. This was not due to strings. It was due to butter. The twins made a butter slide from the entrance of the first bedroom to the top of the staircase. He slipped and fell right away. This last insult made him so angry that he promised to make one final effort to show his power and social position. He decided to bring out an old costume. He would appear as a man without a head. He had not appeared in this costume for more than 70 years. In fact, not since he had so frightened pretty lady Barbara Modish. He scared her so badly that she immediately broke off her engagement with the present Lord Canterville's grandfather. She ran away to Gretna Green with handsome Jack Castletown, and she declared that nothing in the world would make her marry into a family with such a horrible ghost. A ghost that they even allowed to walk up and down the terrace at twilight. Poor Jack was later shot in a duel with Lord Canterville. And Lady Barbara died of a broken heart at Tunbridge Wells before the year was out. So, in every way, it had been a great success. It was, however, an extremely difficult costume to prepare, even for a ghost. It took him 3 full hours to make his preparations. At last, everything was ready, and he was very pleased with his appearance. The big leather boots that went with the clothes were just a little too large for him, and he could only find one of the 2 guns, but on the whole, he was quite satisfied. At 1:15, he glided out of his room and crept down the hall. On reaching the room occupied by the twins, he found the door slightly open. Wishing to make a grand entrance, he threw it open, and to his surprise, a heavy jug of water fell right down on him. It wet him to the skin and just missed his left shoulder by a couple of inches. At the same moment, he heard shouts of laughter coming from the 4-post bed. The shock to his nervous system was so great that he ran back to his room as quickly as he could, and the next day he was laid up with a severe cold. The only thing at all that made him feel better about the whole affair was the fact that he had not brought his head with him, for had he done so, the consequences might have been very serious.